If you're a subscriber to my daily email, then you know that my new book, A School Leader's Guide to Reclaiming Purpose, was released on Sunday and is available now on Amazon. And a way of celebrating it and helping you as a listener get a glimpse inside the book, I thought it would be really fun to do something different. So today we actually have a guest host on the show, and she is going to help me talk through the book. The guest host is Mara Buskey, who is my daughter, but also a key partner in my business. She helps schedule a daily email, reaches out to all of our podcast guests, and just does a ton of stuff over here. And I think if you haven't heard Mara before, then you're in for a treat. She's a wonderful young person, and I'm so happy to be able to have her host me. So let's get on with the show. Hello, colleagues, and welcome to the Assistant Principal Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Frederick Buskey. We're all on a leadership journey. Every day, we have a chance to grow. Every day, we have a chance to help others grow. My goal and the goal of this podcast is to help you grow into being a strategic leader, a leader who puts people before purpose, who solves problems instead of treating symptoms, and who understands the difference between progress and action. Through this podcast, my daily email, and virtual programs, I'm working to build a network of inspired and inspiring school leaders. Let's get started on today's adventure and this unique opportunity to learn to live and lead better.
Frederick Buskey helps assistant principals live and lead better. Building on 32 years of K-12 and higher education leadership experience, Dr. Buskey provides simple frameworks and tools to help school leaders spend less time putting out fires and invest more time in growing teachers. Dr. Buskey hosts the Assistant Principal Podcast, writes a daily leadership email, and hosts courses for leaders at his Strategic Leadership Academy. He has recently released his first book, A School Leader's Guide to Reclaiming Purpose. Welcome to today's show, Dr. Buskey.
No, thank you, Mara. It's so good to be here and being hosted by you.
Yeah, it's cool to be on the other side of this. And thanks for letting me co-host today.
Looking forward to it.
Sweet. So, as you know, we always like to have some warm-up questions, and we like to start with a celebration. So what are you celebrating today?
Okay, so this may sound a little bit sappy, but I'm really celebrating that we can share this moment together. So releasing a first book is kind of feels like a big deal. And you know, you've been with me in this business since the start and have walked so much of this path with me, and I feel your little footprints are kind of all over this book in different ways. So I'm really happy that we can share this moment together.
Oh, thank you for that. I would say that would be my celebration as well. It's pretty cool that we get to work together. And anytime that I tell somebody that I work for my father's consulting company and tell them what I do, so many people always comment just how amazing it is that we get to have that relationship and how lucky we are that a lot of people don't have that opportunity. So I am really, really thankful for that. Is there a story that will help listeners understand why you are doing what you do today?
I think specific to the book, the kind of set of experiences that comes to mind is just my work the first couple of years when I started the consulting business. I have this vision, I call it the flywheel, and I've talked about it on the show before, but this idea that we can set our instructional leadership team up in a way and build processes and procedures that help us work with groups of teachers and individual teachers to help focus them on professional development and then follow up that professional development with observations, work with the teachers around the data, and then keep cycling in and keep growing and progressing. And so I thought I would go out in the first couple of years of my consultancy and preach that, right? And whenever I shared that with assistant principals, people really appreciated it. They were really enthusiastic and positive. But then when we got back together a month later, they were never able to execute. And so what I realized was the challenge of getting people to escape that gravitational pull of urgency so they could get to this point where they were being more strategic about supporting and growing teachers, that was the gap. And so I felt like I had to write this book to get people to bridge that gap so that I can go write and promote the book that I had in my head in the first place.
Yeah. Well, speaking of the book, so you just wrote your first published book. So you kind of talked about what inspired that. But is this book just for teachers and leaders, or like who is this book really, really for, and can it apply to other people, or does it have to be within education? And I know I read one of the testimonials that someone wrote about this book. They got to read the book before it has come out. And I remember reading something about them saying that it wasn't just for teachers and education. So could you give me a little bit about that and maybe who it's for and who it can apply to?
Yeah, I guess there are a couple different answers to that. So I think the first is it is titled A School Leader's Guide to Reclaiming Purpose.
Right.
So it really is written, all the examples and the challenges and everything are about the school context. So it is for school leaders. And the idea of reclaiming purpose is this idea of getting back to being able to focus on the work that we really care about, which goes back to the reason that we became school leaders in the first place, which is probably about doing good things for kids. And the biggest way we can help kids is to support and grow teachers. So the idea is that the book helps school leaders do the things they need to do so that they can invest more time supporting and growing teachers, spend less time playing whack-a-mole. That said, the whole process and the core principles of how you move from urgent to strategic leadership cut across almost any sector. I mean, I have a good friend who's a nurse administrator, and we talk about he's got the exact same challenges, right, that assistant principals, principals, instructional coaches have. So I think the themes are really kind of universal, but I had specific people in my head when I wrote this book. You know, I was in K-12, or I was in higher ed for 13 years preparing people to be assistant principals. And I had specific individuals that I taught and then mentored as they went through the assistant principalship that I was thinking about writing this book for them to help them on their journey.
So when people are reading this book, do they just read it, or is there a way that you want them to read it or use it, or how does that work? How do you utilize this book to get the most out of it?
Yeah, I wrote it very intentionally as a guide. And people need to know this is not a big brick of a book. I think it's about 136 pages, and that's with all of the fluff in it. So it's not a long book. In fact, I think each stage, there are six stages, and each one probably takes about 15 minutes to read. So I was thinking about the chunks of time that school leaders have, which is not very big. And I wanted somebody to be able to sit down, open the book up, have 15 minutes, go through the chapter, underline, write, highlight, scribble all over it. And then, you know, we have those reflection questions in there at multiple points in each chapter or each stage. And then we have a list of challenges. And the challenges invite people to take the core concepts in each stage and apply that into their situation immediately. And so I wanted to make sure that this is something that people can take and get immediate value out of. Don't read the whole book. Read a stage, think about it, and then pull from those challenges. Let them inspire you on how you apply what you just learned. The other thing I would say in using the book in that way is it's much more powerful if it's done collaboratively. Right. And you and I had a shared experience a couple of years ago. We went through Julia Cameron's The Art of, let's see, what was it?
The artist's way.
the artist's way. And that
Yeah.
was written as that guidebook and really informed how I wrote this book. And just for listeners, what you and I did was we committed to, I think, a 12-week journey is what that book recommended. And we
Yeah.
had check-in points with each other. Do you remember that still?
Yeah, every week. Yeah.
Yeah. So
And
we, yeah.
that was 3 years ago, I believe. And I still do my morning pages,
Yeah, there
which is
were core
amazing.
practices in
Yeah.
there. But I think what made that 12-week journey for us long to have a long-lasting effect is that we had that check-in with each other, right? We had that accountability
Yeah.
partner. So it's
Every
something I
week.
talk about in the front end of the book, but for anybody that's really thinking about doing this and wading in, the work is not complicated, but it's challenging. And having somebody there to help hold you accountable or to have some mutual accountability, I think is really, really important.
That makes me think of something. So how if the goal is to use these frameworks and practices and do these challenges, how can a reader, and maybe you talk about this in the book, but how can a reader or a teacher or a leader talk to their other leaders and colleagues in schools and like utilize this book and bring in that? I know you talk a lot about the common language. How do you start creating common language in your school and your workplace?
Yeah, that's actually a whole stage, right? So there are six stages to moving from urgent to strategic. And the first one is just awareness, developing the awareness of what urgent leadership is and why it has that gravitational pull, why it's hard to escape. The second stage then is making the U-turn. It's moving from the place of trying to manage your time to realizing that what we really need to do is manage our priorities. The third stage then is powering down. And that's the idea that school leaders should be focused on the things that only school leaders can do. And so powering down means you're letting go of a lot of that other stuff that there are other people who can cover that, or those things are not essential. So you don't let go of a lot of stuff. And then the fourth stage is powering up. And powering up is really about building systems and structures around you. And part of powering up is communications. And part of communications is developing shared language and shared understandings. So if I'm moving from time management to priority management, and I say that to somebody, that doesn't mean anything unless we've actually talked about what my priorities are, right? So it's really typical that assistant principal gets stuck in the office doing discipline referrals all day. Okay, yeah, that's the job of an assistant principal. But a priority of the assistant principal is to work with the teacher to prevent those discipline things from happening in the first place. So if I can talk about that with my teachers and staff, and we're all on the same page, and for each of us in terms of what are our priorities, what are the things that we should be focusing on to the greatest extent possible, we develop that common language. That makes it easier then to do a lot of these other pieces.
So I guess that kind of you might have just touched on it, but when someone finishes this book and they've gone through the challenges and they've started that adding the frameworks and that common language in their schools and with their colleagues and leaders, what do you envision their days looking like? What is your desired outcome for everything that you've taught in this book?
That is such a great question. I'm so glad you asked it. I make no promises about having an ideal day. You're not going to saunter into school, read the paper, have a cup of coffee, and then spend all day in classrooms working with teachers. It's not going to happen. This book is really focused on making incremental changes and then leveraging those incremental changes to achieve growth. When you get to stage five is all about leverage. How do we leverage a few minutes? So I think if somebody finishes this book and they come back and they say, you know what? I'm getting into classrooms a couple minutes a day. I'm able to have a discussion each day, a very short discussion with a teacher. And if they tell me that they're prioritizing those things, having those discussions with teachers, being fully present when they're with teachers, and being able to help start to grow people, then I think that's a win. And to be clear, that doesn't have to look like 20-minute observation, post-conference observation, write up everything. You don't have that kind of time. And so the book is really structured around the idea of helping you take 5 minutes, find 5 minutes, create it, and then go in and how do you reinvest 5 minutes with a teacher to help them become a better practitioner?
Yeah, I think that's cool to think about how there's going to be so much to think about in this book, but it's not like your life is going to be flipped upside down, which is amazing. Like it can be whittled down to a matter of 5 minutes, and how taking 5 minutes and reinvesting that somewhere else and more intentionally and strategically is really impactful for a lot of other people in your life.
Yeah, it's interesting because the book is meant to give you a profound shift of viewpoint. And that's this idea of stop trying to manage time, right? Nobody has enough time. Start managing your priorities. So that is a big leap. From that big leap, then everything changes, but everything changes in small ways that just have this cascading effect. So by the time you get out at the other end, you are doing more, not exclusively, but you are doing more of what you got into the business in the first place for.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, before we talk about everything else that's in the book, so people can actually read it and be surprised and learn, I want to ask a few questions just about your writing process and the fact that you just wrote and published your first book, which is really, really cool. And I'm so thankful that I've gotten to, like we said, like walk alongside you and see this process. So, what was the most difficult part of this writing process for you?
I think staying consistent because I wrote the first half of the book about 3 years ago and then just didn't do anything for a year and came back to it. And then by the time I came back to it, my thinking and my ideas had changed. And so I wound up rewriting the entire first half of the book. And then from there I stayed more focused and it was an easier path.
What is the most valuable piece of advice you've been given about writing?
I knew I need to write every day. And although I didn't work on the book every day, I do write every day. So I think that's the number one thing for anybody that's interested in creative work at any kind of creative work, but especially in writing, you just have to do it every day. A piece of advice that I just got recently from Jason McKenna, who was just on our show a couple of weeks ago, and he just finished his book, and he said his biggest piece of advice was, if you want to write another book, don't stop writing. So I've already paused, and now I know I want to write that second book, so I need to get going again.
How did you celebrate when you finished writing this book?
It's interesting because when I finished writing, then you had all the publishing piece in front of you, and that took a long time. And I'll give a shout out. Thanks to my good friend William D. Parker, who does Principal Matters podcast, because he helped me connect with Jimmy Cassis and the people at ConnectEd Publishing. And so by the time that I got working on the publishing side of it, the book had been written a long time ago. And although there were updates, it felt like it was kind of floating away. And then by the time the book gets published, already on to other things. And I think this is a lesson for people out there is sometimes it can be really difficult to stop and acknowledge these landmark moments. And it's been hard for me to get there. I think when I started sharing with family and friends that the book was out and just received so much support from my cousins and my family, that's the point at which it kind of kicked in for me that it was something worth celebrating. So I just say that for people when, like, we need to get better at stopping when we achieve something wonderful, whether it's big or small, we need to be better at stopping and celebrating. And if we are that family, if we are those cousins or friends, make sure you hold people accountable for celebrating their own successes.
Yeah, that's a great lesson learned from that for sure. One more thing about your book cover. What is this supposed to look like if for those of you that are just listening and aren't able to look it up, you'll be able to look it up on Frederick's website. But what is the book cover meant to signify?
Yeah, I love the way the cover came out, and Keila Casas was the designer on that over at ConnectED, and we went back and forth and got a lot of input from other people as well. Thank you, anybody that's out there that helped me with this, because it really became a collaborative team effort. The main imagery on the book has, I think, five small paper airplanes going around in a circle. And if you look, they're really locked into that circle. There's kind of a groove that keeps them going and keeps them moving. And that captures that idea how we just get sucked into that gravitational pull of urgency. And we're just going around and around and around, and we don't actually get anywhere. But then coming out of that circle of five small airplanes is this big yellow paper airplane that is clearly out of the circle and rising up. And that captures this idea that A, we can break out, and B, it is this journey that takes us up somewhere. In fact, it takes us back to connecting us and reclaiming that purpose of why we got in this business. So I think the imagery in the cover came out really powerful.
Yeah, I would agree. It's awesome. And it really was a collaborative effort. We started with like five or six different options for the cover, I think, and narrowed it down to what is now the cover. And it's really amazing to see that process.
Yeah, it was exciting. So,
Well, before we close, is there anything else that you'd like to share about your book?
yeah, I think we've touched on most of the things. Just to reiterate, though, I wrote this book with specific people in mind. Shout out to my friend Maria, who is not an assistant principal anymore, but is a principal. Because I really had you in mind as I wrote this. And so for anybody out there, whether your name is Maria or not, know that this book was written for a practitioner. It was written for somebody who is doing the work that you're doing every day, who is on the journey that you're on. And because it was written for somebody like you, it's going to be very practical. This is something you'll be able to pick up. You'll be able to look at it for 10, 15 minutes. You'll get a couple of things that will go, whoa, I can use this right now. And it will give you questions to think about. It gives you discussion questions if you want to do this with somebody else. But this is really, really a practical, it's not a book, it's a guide, right? And it's a practical guide. So if you're struggling, I feel like I'm being an infomercial, but obviously, I think I'm really passionate about this. If you feel like you're playing whack-a-mole, if you feel like you're putting out fires and you have those days where you come home and you're tired and you know you worked all day and you did good stuff, but you don't feel like your school actually got better, if you're in that place, this is a book that can help you.
Awesome. So to close, you know these questions, but I'm going to ask you now. What part of your own leadership are you still trying to get better at?
Daily execution. I've gotten I've gotten pretty good at knowing my priorities and generally being priority driven, but making sure that I execute each time. And then you know as well as I do, one of my weaknesses is shiny objects, right? I see something really cool, or I get a really cool idea, and my tail starts wagging, and I just want to run off and chase it. And so just maintaining that daily discipline is really important.
If listeners could take just one thing away from today's podcast, what would it be? Other than to go read your new book.
Go buy my book. I think it's that if you feel stuck in the pole of urgency, just know it doesn't, that doesn't have to be that way, because it can feel like this is the job of an AP. This is all I'm ever going to do. That's not true. It doesn't have to be that way. There are things in this book you can take 5 minutes in a day, 5 minutes, and you can have an impact on a teacher in 5 minutes. And the book will help you find 5 minutes. So that's my takeaway.
Before we go, is there anything else that you'd like to share with our listeners?
Yeah, well, the book's on Amazon. So you can go type into Amazon Reclaiming Purpose, and the book will pop up and you can get it there. I've worked out with my publisher. If somebody listening wants to do this as a book study and you want 15 or more copies, send me an email and I can get you a really nice, fat, healthy discount. And very soon we'll be having some book study support things coming up on the website. So people can tune in for that, and I'll put an announcement on the show, because again, I think that mutual accountability is really important, and this is a really good book to do a book study on.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for reversing roles and joining me today. Thank you all for listening. Leadership is a journey, and thank you for choosing to walk some of this magical path with me and us. So thank you. You can find links to all sorts of stuff in the show notes, including Frederick's website at www.frederickbuskey.com. We love hearing from you, so consider emailing Frederick at frederickbuskey.com, or you can email me, Mara at frederickbuskey.com, or connect with either of us on LinkedIn. Please remember to subscribe, rate, and review the podcast. I hope you guys have a great rest of the week. Be present for others, and more importantly, take time to reflect and recover so you can continue to live and lead better. Cheers.